stress-free through this, and I will never, ever look as good-looking or skinny ever again.
Very hard to wear your mask.
You're beautiful. Aww.
Yeah. That guy's good-looking. How's everybody doing? Back in Macon. So, let's dim this fucker down and make it dark and intimate.
To a wedding on the way.
Drive-by truckers don't use a set list. The reason the drive-by truckers don't use a set list is back in the 80s, Cooley and I were in a band called Balance House Cat. And, you know, bands have set lists, so we would make a set list. I made the set list. And I was the only one willing to. And so I made the set list, and then I never followed it, ever. And Cooley and I back in, it's funny because we've been playing together 38 years. We kind of get along pretty great. But for the first 10 years, we just fought constantly. We were like brothers and both wanting to kill each other. And yet at the same time, obviously continuing to do this thing. And so I digress, I'm sorry, I do that a lot. Drives them crazy. And so I wouldn't follow it. And he would get so mad. And I mean, like, we almost like came to blows a couple of times. Well, by coming to blows, I mean like he almost punched me. But he never did. But he came close. And it was usually over that one. So, and then we parted ways. And when we started the Truckers, one of the very earliest shows, he saw me over there writing a set list. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Making a set list." "Why?" "Because that's what you do. You make a set list. Are you going to follow it?" "Well, no, probably not." "Then why the fuck are you making this fucking set list?" "Good point. So we don't have a set list. Except for next year, we might do a set list thing, but that's a secret. So anyway, other than that, we don't do a set list."
"I'm telling everybody."
"Anyway, I made a set list. What are you doing?" People keep asking me if I'm ever going to make a children's record. Have you heard my children's songs? My wife would love me to make a Christmas record because she loves fucking Christmas. And she loves Christmas records almost as much as Christmas. I hate fucking Christmas. If the Pogues or the Kinks didn't write it, there's about 10 others. They don't like the food. I don't think they like anything about it. But I love Thanksgiving. It's like the only holiday I like. But even Thanksgiving needs a filter. Grandma's wheelchair is sitting in the corner. The children. So let me start over. Grandma's wheelchair is sitting in the corner. We all sure love her, but the children avoid her. Cause she's gray-haired and wrinkled, and looks kinda scary. 9 years of survival, that burden gets heavy. Thanksgiving is over and Christmas is soon. worst holidays. Blessed be my family 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, that's on the first call. Thank you.
How's everybody? Yeah, we were pretty good. Pretty good. It's
what's that Tom T. Hall song?
The what song?
The Tom T. Hall.
Pay no attention to Alice.
Yeah.
The greatest song ever written about alcoholism.
Yeah.
And how many millions of songs have been written about alcoholism? I mean, truly. I mean, like, other than divorce and killing those you love, you know, alcoholism might be like number two in that list. I mean, there's a lot of songs, but I don't know if there's a better. There's probably a handful as good. I mean, I'm sure Towns wrote at least one. A handful as good. But I don't think there's a better song about alcoholism than Pay No Attention to Alice. It wasn't on the list. And then I'm not going by the list. Tom T. Hall wrote the song about a friend of his. His wife was an alcoholic. Attention to Alice, she's drunk all the time, hooked on that wine, bunches of it, it's supposed to remind. Pay no attention to Alice, you know she's a sot, saying she's hot, but she loves it, and that's all she's got.
You
say I was fun while it lasted. Sing it pretty, you magnificent bastard. Flying cats and hamsters sing with Christmas lights.
Sunsets, where everyone's alone.
didn't fit in light. Was I soaring through the clouds? Was I hunting through the night? And in my dreams, I still can see him flying through a western sky. And I think about Grand Canyon, and I lift my glass and smile. I lift my glass and smile.
Thank you.
shrink. For $200 an hour, maybe he can tell us both why Henry drinks. Drink half a case of beer before I get home from work. Daddy needs his medicine to keep his hands off of mom's throat. Baby, push a little harder. Big fat man riding a mechanical bull in slow motion, like Deborah Winger. He gets knocked off and I think he's heard it's a bitch facing facts and figures. There's a band on stage that used to be used their own, but no one's listening. And the rest turn down and they politely oblige. Ain't no such thing as a free ride. And it ain't my night and it ain't my town and I ain't being condescending. It's just the opening slot. So I guess it'll be alright. The man's on the guest list. So I guess it'll be alright. The man's on the guest list. So I guess it'll be alright. The man's on the guest list. Come and they haul off that urban bovine Knievel is all such a fleeting thing. So I guess I best try and enjoy it. All this beauty in just enough time to figure out how to destroy it. I'm just the opening act. The gates of heaven, he didn't understand. He knew his friends were coming over. What were they doing there? Just a crazy dream. He knew his friends were coming over. What were they doing there? Felt like home, it must be alright. Or was it all a dream? Was it all some crazy dream? Memories replayed before him, all the tiny moments of his life. Lying around in bed on a Saturday morning, two daughters and a wife. Daughters and a beautiful wife. Yeah. balls and flowers by the storefront, and everybody cried. Everybody cried and cried. Is there vengeance up in heaven? Are those things left behind? Maybe every day is Saturday morning. Two daughters and a wife. Two daughters and a beautiful wife. Two daughters and a beautiful wife. Two daughters and a beautiful wife. So much. Yes. song in the winter of 2020 from my friend Jimmy Sue. At the time that I wrote it, I didn't really know who I wrote it about. I didn't realize that it was about him until about 6 months later. It's like, oh, okay. That's the beautiful thing about songs, is sometimes they're just a mystery. And even when that mystery reveals itself, that doesn't really have a lot to do with its creation. So it's a beautiful thing. And I love that. The song's called Shade of Nine.
Thank you.
He was best friends with the guy I worked for, who was a really sweet guy. I worked in a pharmacy for about 6 or 7 years. And my boss was just a wonderful man with really bad taste in friends. This guy was the scariest motherfucker. On top of being a bit of a psychopath, he was also heavily armed and carried a badge. Hey. Used to be a cop that got to be too jumpy. Used to like to party till I coughed a path along. Sometimes late at night I hear the beat of bumping. I reach for my holster and I wake up all alone. Used to have a wife, but she said she couldn't handle. Said she couldn't stand the way I fidget all the time. Sometimes late at night, I circle around the house. I look through the windows and I dream that you're still mine. Scars on my arm from the way my daddy raised me. I used to have a family until I got divorced. It's too far to turn back from this thing that can save me. I used to be a cop till they kicked me off the force. I used to be a cop till they kicked me off the force. Have a car, but the bank came and took it. I'm paying for a house that that bitch lives in now. With children that we had, it won't even look at me. Guess there's nothing left to lose, nothing matters anyhow. Me. I keep it in a box to remind me where I've been. The thin blue line's the only thing that can save me. I used to have a badge, so they made me turn it in. And I used to play football, but it wasn't big enough for college. And I passed the entrance exam, first try, no my way. Took the thing away. Sing one with me. Yeah, please. let's rally it up just a hair. I want to send this one out to Shane McGowan. I think he was one of the greatest songwriters ever, and I just loved his music, and I finally got to see him 2009 at the Tabernacle, and they were great. And I don't know any of his songs, so I can't do one, but if I ever get to like tour again, like solo with Lydia Lovelace, I want to work up Fairy Tale in New York City. I think the two of us singing that to each other would be awesome. I just hear her voice in it. But I'm gonna. The reason I'm doing this song is because the second time the Truckers ever played in New York City, the first time we ever played there, we played at Coney Island High in the summer of 1998, and we were a brand new band. And, you know, we'd grown up hearing all the stories about bands we loved and revered, first time they ever went to New York City, just getting their ass beat. And so we were a little bit terrified, but at the same time, we were also a little bit cocky. It's like, no, we're going to be good. We're going to go in there. We're going to kick ass in New York City. And we had the most amazing fucking night. It was incredible. And we played in front of a lot of people and were treated great. And it's like, fuck yeah, man. We just conquered New York City. And of course, the next time it wasn't always that good. But we had a good, New York's always been good to us. But the second time we ever played in New York, we were invited up by some friends of ours in a band called Lancaster County Prison. And I bring that up because they actually at one point toured backing up Shane McGowan. They were definitely like very heavily influenced by the Pogues, but they brought their own kind of Queens angle to it. And so we stayed with them in Queens, and we got really drunk on the greatest pour of Guinness I've ever had in my life to this day, including many times in Ireland. It was just amazing. And down in this basement bar filled with all these really old Irishmen that were like ancient old, all telling stories, and half the time you couldn't understand what they were saying, and we got so drunk. But the gig itself was playing, opening for them in this middle of Manhattan, really pretentious Irish bar. And it was like so non-authentic, and it was like a brass inferno with an Irish thing. And so we're opening for them. We're young. We actually weren't young, but we're actually are now. But compared to now, we were young. We were full of beans, and so we were just like fucking with them. And I introduced this next song as something that Wes Free, who does our artwork, and your friend Cecil McCobb, something Cecil McCobb always said was like, this ain't redneck, it's Irish, it's Celtic. This ain't redneck, this is Celtic, this ain't white trash, it's Celtic, that's what he said. And that's what I said to introduce this song. And about halfway through the song, my buddy and the band we were opening for came up, kind of called me over stateside, and goes, they said after the song, I've got to stop. So we got fired after like the third song, this pretentious Irish bar for playing this song. So I figure this is a great thing to dedicate to the late great Shane McGowan. And this song's called Bulldozers and Dark. Please sing with me. Bulldozers and dirt, bulldozers and dirt. What's your mama got in her shirt? I like to play and I like to work, but most of all I like bulldozers and dirt. I met your mom when I was 19. You couldn't have been any more than 3. She called me Steve and y'all's cousin. the wildest thing I'd ever seen. The way she pointed that shotgun at me. The police hauled my ass off to jail. Your mama signed the trailer to help make the driving, so grandma's locked his keys next door, and he's Raised by my grandmother and my great uncle, and my parents were teenagers, and my mom was 16, dad 18 when they got married, and she was 18 and he was 20 when I came out, and she wasn't really a mature 18 either, and he was a musician, and he worked at a tire store when I was born, but he also played weekends, like doing frat parties on the Louie circuit, like Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama, Roll Tide, all that shit circuit in like circa 1962, 64, 65, 66. And picture Otis Day and the Knights, except they were all white guys with Beatle haircuts. And they were good. They're Terry Whitford and the Mystics, and my dad was a bass player. And at any rate, I spent a lot of my childhood at my grandmother's house, and then on weekends, I spent the weekends at my great uncle's house. His name is George Albert Johnson. We called him George A. And that was just my childhood. And my granddaddy, Sissy, my mom's mom that raised me, her husband, he was a pipe fitter. And so he would be gone. There was no work for him that was worth a shit where we lived. And my grandmother didn't want to leave me because somebody had to raise me. So he worked all these god-awful places. And you know, a few weeks, every few months, he would come home for a couple weeks. And I thought he was mean as shit. And I was scared to death of him. And he was like, spoiled all my good time because they were spoiling me rotten and he didn't like that. And I thought, what an asshole. And meanwhile, he's like working in like some building an oil refinery in some hellhole in a really bad part of Pennsylvania, or Charleston, West Virginia, or Linden, New Jersey. I'm getting to that. That's where I digress, but I'm getting there. And then the summer I was like 10 or 11, we bought a camp house out on the lake and they built a new pier and it needed painting. And so they decided that granddaddy and I were going to paint that son of a bitch. And I dreaded it. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to deal with that mean son of a bitch for like 2 weeks straight doing some kind of hard labor I don't know enough to do. And he's going to be mean to me and it's going to suck. And about halfway through the first day, I fell madly in love with that man, and it's like, that is the coolest motherfucker on the earth. And I'll tell you that I'll go to my grave saying that. He taught me a lot of things, and in the little bit of time we got to spend together, he was just awesome. Now his mother, my great-grandmother, that's grand-grand. Her name was Neil, but everybody called her grand-grand, or at least I did. She was my great-grandmother. And my grandmother hated her. And my granddaddy tolerated her. And so he would go visit. But my granddaddy, when he was a kid, when he was 12 years old, he ran away from home at the height of the Great Depression. We're talking 1932. He's 12 years old, and he ran away from home, and he hoboed on trains for 2 fucking years. And he went all over America and had some, who knows what kind of crazy fucking adventure. And then at 14, he came back home and they never even asked him where he'd been. It was just another mouth to feed. And his dad was the general. And the general was never actually in the military. But the general, legend has it, could drink any man in Lauderdale County under the table and was a mediocre gambler. So sometimes the general would have a Cadillac and would be spending money left and right and buying new clothes and looking good, chasing women. And sometimes the general would be losing everything they owned, including the farm. So you could say they didn't have a stable kind of life. And grand-grand tolerated it, because then she could go to church and be the wronged wife of the general. And she liked that. And so that was their dynamic. That's where I come from, y'all. My credentials, they're bona fide. I wrote this song for my great-grandmother who instilled in me my lifelong arachnophobia. This song's called Box of Spiders. A box of spiders. Says they're on me when I sleep. Waiting in the outhouse for me.
Yeah. Credit card bills. Who's gonna pay for my mistakes?
worry about means we tell your stories. Don't forget you only have one side. So parlay your inner visions with the mutual suspicions. Make a grand approach to the divide. And when you're changing lanes and passing on the right, check your blind spot and signal your intent. I saw that Honda full of girls going airborne into the trees in Florida. Saw head on our way to see replacements. And we hydroplaned but caught the road in time. And that guy on I-10 driving east as we were westbound in Florida, 2000 April 9. And that 10 degree decline headed down Teton Pass, coolly driving snow and solid ice. And that
the Z-Man with Patterson Hood Solo Acoustics, the Hargray Capitol Theater, Macon, Georgia, 12-3-2023, SOB, Cytobor, DFC, KFC, ZFC, AARP, Shep CCM4Vs, Sound Devices, Mix Pre 6, Model 2. Set up on the first riser to the right of the staircase, approximately 40 feet from stage, 6.5 feet in the air, in the sweet spot for show number 353 of 2023. And thank my lovely Taper's assistant, Ashley Saba, for pushing the right buttons.